Chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read just one verse from Hebrews chapter 11, a very familiar verse. A lot of people consider faith to be merely an exercise in wishful thinking, and they sometimes accuse believers of operating on blind faith. Have you heard that term, blind faith? And the reality is, in some ways, faith is blind because we're basing our confidence in something that we can't see. And that's why Hebrews 11:1 says what it says. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And people typically come to a conclusion that it's blind faith on the basis of the fact that a person can't see God, so it's all about what we can't see. And that's probably very true in some ways. However, there are a lot of ways that faith is not blind, and I want us to consider some of those this evening. Much of faith is blind in one sense, but the unknown is based on what is known, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There is substance, there's evidence that aren't necessarily seen with our eyes. And you know, the life of faith is not about what we can see and what we can lay our hands on. We've made the clear distinction in recent days about the difference between the physical or the temporal and the spiritual. That which is not seen is eternal. That which is seen is temporal. And so we walk by faith and not by sight. And the important thing is not what you can see or what you can lay your hands on. It's what you can't see. And what you can't see, what is invisible, is probably more real than even what we can see. And we won't go so far as the Christian Scientist who denies the realities of things. Oh, you know, like the old joke is, oh, where's your Uncle Joe? Oh, he thinks he's sick. And then the next day, where's your Uncle Joe? Oh, he thinks he's worse. And then finally, where's your Uncle Joe? Oh, he thinks he died. And so they had a funeral for him. And the Christian Science movement denies realities, but... And we certainly don't go as far as that, because what we see around us definitely is real. But what's even more real than that is that which is eternal, and those things are invisible. And so we put our confidence in the things that we can't see with our eyes. And otherwise, you come to the point of being persuaded that you can earn your own salvation. And so many people operate on the basis of sight instead of faith. Instead of saying we walk by faith, not by sight, they would say we walk by sight, not by faith, because we don't want to grope around in blindness. We don't want to rely on something we can't see with our eyes. And so they depend upon themselves, and that's not a very good or productive position to be in either. When the Bible says that we shouldn't expect to see things physically with our eyes if they're based in faith. And the Bible says a few verses later in that passage, of course, that without faith it's impossible to please God. Oh, but things look so bad. You know what? That may or may not mean anything at all. Oh, but things seem so hard. Things look to be so negative. That may not mean anything, how they look. God wants his people to operate by faith. And there are some things that we would call attention to that would put a question mark behind this blind faith accusation. First of all, we know, there are some things that we know, and one of the things we know is we know God's character. It's not blind faith because the God who promised it, we know his character. We know what God's all about because he has proved himself over and over again. Look in your Bible to Romans chapter 3. Just a brief verse, and one that's familiar to you, I'm sure, but one that establishes or states God's character. Romans chapter 3, verse 4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Let God be true, and every man a liar. If it comes to man or God, God should be the one that we trust. But have you seen him? No, I haven't seen him, but I know his character. He's God, and he's trustworthy. At the same time, look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. Deuteronomy 32, 4 says, He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. Let me read it again. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. It's interesting. The chapter begins, Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. And he's extolling the character of God here. He's the rock. His work is perfect. He's to be trusted all the way through. You know, Titus 1:2, God who cannot, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God can't lie. And so whatever he says is true. And if you choose to live your own life and operate things according to your liking, you will fail. God says that in his word, you'll fail. You'll end up being ashamed. You cannot possibly be successful in that direction, in the things that matter the most. We know God's character. God tells us these things in his word. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 6. Proverbs 28, 6 makes a similar statement. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 6 says this, Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. It's better for a poor person to walk in uprightness than the one who is perverse in his ways, even though he may be a rich man. It's better to walk uprightly. And God is one, for example, God is one who cannot lie. He does not lie. And he wants us to be the same way. We know God's character. And so it's not blind faith, because we put our confidence in God and we know what he's all about. We know his character. And secondly, we know God's promises. We know God's promises. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5 says, Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I won't leave you, I'll always be there. And are there times, imagine if you will, being one of the patriarchs, being Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, or Joseph, or one of those saints of old whom God spoke to only once every 25 years, every 30 years or more. Imagine being one of those people. Wouldn't you be tempted to think that God was gone and he wasn't going to be around anymore? He wasn't going to keep his word? That would be a terrible temptation, to think that God had somehow abandoned you. What a blessing it is that we can open the Word of God, open the Bible every day, every moment of the day if need be, and be assured by God's promises. God has given us his promises, and one of his promises is, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'm going to always be there. I'm going to always be there to comfort and to bless you. What a blessing that that he's promised his abiding presence with his people. We know God's character. We know God's promises. Look at Philippians chapter 4 with me. Philippians chapter 4, a familiar verse of scripture. Again, Philippians chapter 4, there's just such a wealth of comfort to be found in the book of Philippians, particularly in chapter 4. But look at chapter 4, verse 19. The Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." He's going to be there, and he's promised that he would provide the needs that we face, the needs that we have. Is God trustworthy? Yes, he's trustworthy. He doesn't lie. We know his character. And if he promised it, well, then we can count on that. And it's not blind faith. It's not based in just wishful thinking. It's based in God's character. It's based in God's promises. And you can believe God that he's going to follow through and he's going to provide what he said he would provide. He says here in Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And the third thing we know, so it's not truly blind faith. The third thing we know is that we know God's track record, if you will. Excuse me, look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We know God's character, we know God's promises, we know God's track record. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 and 23, the Bible says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." God is faithful. And he's always been faithful, and he's going to keep on being faithful. Do you imagine that God would be faithful to everybody but you? I hope not. I hope you wouldn't think that. Oh, I'm a special case. You must think you're pretty great if you're that kind of a special case. Oh no, it's because I'm pretty bad. Well, it's kind of pride. Maybe it's an inverted pride either way. We're not a special case. If God says he'll be faithful to everybody, he'll be faithful to you too. You're somebody. And he has never forsaken his own, and he is faithful that promised, according to verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 10. He is faithful that promised. Now look with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. You know some verses in chapter 5. I hope you know verse 16, "Rejoice evermore," and verse 17, "Pray without ceasing," and verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." But look at verse 24. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God will keep his word. He's going to be faithful. He's going to do exactly what he said he would do. And we know we can trust him because we know his character and we know his promises and we know his track record. And he's always done what he said he would do. He's always come through and always been faithful. I think about Joseph, who for years and years, was it 13 years from the time he was 17 till the time he was 30 years of age? Are there any 17-year-olds in here right now? You're 17, okay, there are a couple. Imagine if you were sold into slavery as a 17-year-old, and not long after that you ended up falsely accused and thrown into prison until you were 30 years old. Just imagine that. Would you be doubting whether God would keep his word to you? If you were falsely imprisoned for probably 10 years or more until you were age 30, if you were turned against by your siblings, they sold you into bondage, Yeah, you know, that would cause just about anybody, I think, to have some second thoughts and doubts whether God would actually be faithful. Whether, am I doing the right thing? Am I really trusting the right person here? And why is he allowing this to happen to me? But, you know, the focus becomes about me. And too often, when we have doubts and fears, it's because we're focused on the me instead of focused on him. And that's our problem, and that's the thing that becomes a stumbling block for us. Rather than focusing on him, the Bible says he is faithful that promised. It's not blind faith. We know that God always keeps his word, and he told Joseph back when he was just a youth, he gave him those dreams, remember? And the implication of those dreams was that you're going to be exalted and your brothers and your parents are going to bow down before you. And he had not seen that happen yet. But he kept on believing God until it did happen. And we can be confident that God will accomplish his purposes. And I don't know that God's necessarily given you any dreams recently. But you can go to his word and you can read about his promises and you can see what he has said he will do. And you know God's character and you know God's promises and you know God's track record. And he doesn't fail. He's never failed. And so you can be confident and trust in him. That's not blind faith. Well, in a sense, you know, one maybe could say it's blind because I'm fully trusting in something that I can't see with my eyes, but I can see the results of the person that I'm trusting. Just imagine your brother or your friend coming to you and begging you to, if they could borrow $50 from you. They have a legitimate need. And this person promises to pay you back, and you might just forgive that debt. That's what Jesus said in the sermon in Matthew chapter 5. Just forgive the debt. Just give it to them and don't hope for anything back again. And I think the reason for that is so that you won't begrudge that person in case they don't pay it back, in case something happens so that they can't. You won't find yourself battling with bitterness. Bitterness is a terrible, terrible blight on anybody. An unforgiving spirit, a spirit of unforgiveness that becomes bitterness in a person's heart. And I think that may be the reason why Jesus said, just give it to them. Don't ask, don't even try to get it back. But if you could trust, if you ever loaned someone money like that and you trusted them and you said, I believe them, they'll pay it back, but you won't believe God. That doesn't make any sense. If your friend is trustworthy, if your friend has enough character to follow through and pay the debt that they've incurred, don't you think God will be faithful to keep his word? He certainly will. He certainly is faithful to keep his word. You know his character. You know his promises. You know his track record. And this is just a small example of why we believe God. And if you would trust your friend because you know his character, if you would trust your friend because you know his promises, you know his track record, well then we certainly should trust God way far beyond that, exceeding beyond that. What good things has he brought to your life? Can you trust him? Undoubtedly, undoubtedly you can trust him. You see, it's not exactly blind faith, although we can't see with our eyes. It's no different than trusting anyone, since it's God. It's an even more reliable promise. What has God brought to your life? If you're a saved person, you know he's brought to your life joy and peace. He's brought to your life hope and anticipation. He's brought to your life so many more great things, blessedness, success in life, in the things that are most important. God has brought so many wonderful things to your life. Can't you trust him? Can't you trust him? Even though you can't see him? Well, we ought to. The Bible admonishes us to. We ought to just trust him. even though some people would say, oh, you're just relying on blind faith. It's not really blind. We know God's character. We know God's promises. We know he's never failed. We know his track record. We know he's reliable, and we can put our confidence and faith and trust safely, comfortably, fearlessly in him. Don't doubt it. Don't ever back away from that confidence. And even if it seems like the answer is not forthcoming, even if it seems like, oh, God should have answered by now if he was going to, how can we even conclude such a thing? God should have done this, God should have done that. We don't know his purposes. We don't know his plans. We don't know what he has in mind. How can we say God should have done this, God should have done that? That's a very foolish conclusion for us to draw. Just trust him. Just believe him. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God knows what he's doing. Just trust him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we